Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Hey, yeah. We're on fly. Yeah. We're on fly. Yeah.
Yeah. Arise. Shine, for the light has come. The glory of Yah has risen up on his sons and his daughters. The darkness is uncovered. Pull sheets up of our lovers. We're perverted till we burn. So now it's time to return back to Yah, our city of refuge. The fountains of living waters. The showers leave with righteousness. Restores my order and turns this song to a king. A song for my soul to sing. That brought me down very low. My garments white like the wings. Shaddaiah, praises be the Most High. That brought me out of insanity, crushed the towers of vanity, and made a man of me. I'm now asking for a key, no longer my refugee. I'm now y'all's planet.
We don't fly to the sea, yeah. We don't march to the sea, yeah. We don't dance, we don't sleep, we don't run to the sea, run to the sea. We don't fly to the sea, yeah. We don't march to the sea, yeah.
Measure waters came to your ankle. The method did repeat. Waters came right to your knee. Before you further joke, groins. Waters came to your loins. A thousand measures and the last. A river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of fish left to swim. There was meat from the trees. Nourished the bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters flow on sides of sanctuary. My heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul until we make it home. Foolish sin forever gone. Your spirit resting on my bones. Brothers and sisters, you with me. Let's purge that stuff really quickly. Make out those polished this 50. So we come. About my sins are too many. I thought another God could save. To you awoke me from my slumber, pull me right from my grave. And now that I'm saved, I'm blessed to know or understand truth. That no blessing, no curse is coming, least is coming through you. I sing praises to my God, to my very last breath. And use your laws as a ladder if I ever misstep. Let's praise the Most High, Yah, pay his holy name regard. We have come a long way, yet we got so far before we right before our King. All of this ain't seen to we the sons of righteousness with healings up in our wings.
We gon' fly to the sea of God. We gon' march to the sea of God. We gon' dance, we gon' sing, we gon' run to the sea, run to the sea. We gon' fly to the sea of God. We gon' march to the sea of God. We gon' dance, we gon' sing, we gon' run to the sea.
I wanna go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down. Now, I wanna go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down. Now, I wanna go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down. Now, I wanna go. Yeah, I wanna go home. So.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Yah. Yahweh is righteous. Yahweh is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom. I am Moray Naftali, here with you once again, here at the House of Israel, 190 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. It's definitely an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before you this evening, here on the sixth day, to bring you nothing but the truth, according to Yahweh's word. And as I bring you this truth, I want to first let you know that this is a great blessing, a great blessed season that we are in, even being on this sixth day, the day that the Most High even made man and beast, and he blessed them on this day that he created them. And for that, I will say hallelujah. And also, before I get into the presentation for tonight, that we will be dealing with Genesis, the 17th chapter, and we will be dealing with the covenant of circumcision. I just want to make the announcement that praise the mighty Yahweh for the season that's upon us, which is the restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference that's held annually, three times a year, for 25 years now, founded by late great prophet of Yahweh, messenger of the Most High, Moray Elisha Israel. And praise Yahweh for the co-founders of this great conference, this great meeting that was ordained by Yah. And definitely, most definitely, it was ordained by Yah. And it was ordained by Yah through his servants, his servant Moray Elisha, who told us that this was a vision given to him from the Most High, that we, as servants of the Most High, can no longer accept being of two different opinions, let alone three, four, five, or six. At that point, we need to come together at the table of brotherhood and iron out our differences. Let's iron the crooked things out and make it straight. Let's iron the crooked things out and make it plain. So I praise Yahweh for this great, awesome vision, for it is the Most High that told us in the book of Isaiah. And I want you to read this. And on your way to Isaiah, and I believe it's recorded in 41st chapter, like I was saying, praise Yahweh for the co-founders, Moray Yeshaya Israel, Moray Yehoshua Israel, the late great minister Taylor from Mississippi, all these Morays who led the path and the way before us, and it's still going strong to this day. And we're looking forward to a very great and exciting meeting here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where it all started with Moray Elisha Israel. Hallelujah. And this is how you know that the vision of this conference, the purpose of this conference, is for us to come together in brotherhood and love and unity. Say, listen, why must we be of two different understandings? Let's let the counsel and the truth of the Most High stand. Let's let the counsel and the truth of the Most High reign. Let the counsel and the truth of Yahweh reign supreme. God says in the book of Isaiah 41, I'm going to start reading at the 21st verse. Produce your cause, says Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reasons. Because if you believe something, belief means that you have strong reasons behind why you believe it. It's not something that you just saying, I just got a feeling. And even if you got a feeling, at least that's a reason. But the Most High said, I want you to bring some strong reasons on why you believe what you believe. I want you to produce your cause. Because if you're sincere about what you believe, about what you think you know and understand, if you're sincere, you should have strong reasons. The Most High said, produce your cause, says Yah, Bring forth your strong reason, says the King of Yaakov, and let them bring them forth, and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. And that's how the Most High, that's how you know his book is a supreme book. Because in this book, you can read about the former things. You can read about the former fathers, the forefathers. You can read about history at its best. Precise history, especially when it comes to the origin of creation. It comes to the origin of our people. Matter of fact, the origin of all nations and the origin of all creatures upon the earth is recorded in one book, and that's Yahweh's book. He's the one that proclaims to tell you how this thing started out. And it's consistent. There's no contradictions in his word. When you read about how the fowls of the air came forth out the waters, how the Most High created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and how he said the moon will be the ruler over the night, and you see the sun that rules over the day. All these things that Yahweh has done, he said in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. He established a week in the beginning. Here it is to this day. We still fundamentally live our lives according to a week. Every 7 days, every seventh day, no matter where you are in this world, it starts over, because that's the work of Yahweh. He the one that brings forth what should happen. He's the one to tell you the former things, so you can look back and trace your tracks and how you came to where you are now. And then he's also the one that tells you the future. This book, the Most High, tells you the future. He tells you things that you can bank on and count on, just like he told us in Deuteronomy 28. That we will be sent into a land that's not ours. And we will be sent into this land by the way of ships and chained up, shackled. And we will be sold for slaves. And our children will be taken from us. It will be no might in our hands. All these things came to pass. Look at this history. That's how you know that this is the strongest reasons that we can produce why we believe in this book. Because we are living testimonies that this book is real. But the Most High wants us to bring it for strong reasons. Whether you believe that the month has got 29 days in it, 30 days in it, 12 months, 13 months. If you believe that a day starts when the sun is going down. If you believe a day starts when it's coming up. If you believe we can keep the Passover in America. If you don't believe you cannot keep the Passover in America. Whatever you believe, bring forth your strong reasons to the table so all of us can stop embarrassing one another and embarrassing the whole community. And they looking at the children of Israel, the ones that's supposed to have the laws, the ones that's supposed to have the truth, but they got 1,000 different beliefs. That's the purpose of this great historical conference in our midst today. I praise Yahweh for it. I'm looking forward to it. And of course, the topic of discussion is the 400-year prophecy that's recorded in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, starting at the 13th verse. The 400-year prophecy where the Most High told Abram, our father, that your seed is going to be a stranger in the land that's not theirs, and they're going to serve them, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years. And I never thought I'd live today to see that the 400-year prophecy will be a controversy, that the children of Israel will have two different opinions on this. But as you can see, Satan is working. And it's one of two things. The 400-year prophecy is being fulfilled today, or the 400 prophecy is not being fulfilled today. Is one of two things, and we're going to find that out at this conference, because we're going to have our sincere teachers, our sincere elders, and sincere morays to bring forth their strong reasons on what they believe. So I praise y'all for this conference. Hallelujah. Today we're speaking on the covenant of circumcision. I was inspired by the Most High to speak on this subject today. I was inspired because my wife's sister just had a newborn son. Newborn son. His name is Yair. Yair, which means to be enlightened. And they called my wife, said, hey, where can we get our son circumcised? Since you done had two sons circumcised, give us some information. So we turned them on to the what they call a moel, the person that does the circumcision. We called the same guy. We turned them on to him. And they said, well, listen, can we do the circumcision at your house? And naturally, we told them it would be an honor. Come right on over and get circumcised on the same table as our son. And that happened today. And it was a beautiful honor to see this young, innocent child that Yahweh raised up in the womb to be brought into his covenant today in my house. And I was able to send my sister-in-law and her husband and the young lad, my nephew-in-law. I was able to send them away with a blessing. I was able to read the covenant with them, and I was able to praise Yahweh with them, and I was able to bless the child. And so it was inspiring. I said, well, since I'm doing a program tonight, I'm going to deal with circumcision. So if you want to turn with me and praise Yahweh for the parents, for my sister-in-law, Zakorah, and her husband, for making that sacrifice, because they had to pay to get it done. And I know that the money that they had to pay is don't just grow on trees. It was very expensive, but they said, you know what? It's worth it. So it was a blessing to see them make a sacrifice. Hallelujah. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, and there is controversies when it comes to this chapter. And we're going to deal with it. And we're going to show. Let's just let the truth and the counsel of Yahweh reign. At the end of the day, if you're only concerned with the truth, and you're only concerned with just knowing the right answer from Yah, I'm sure that you will see it, long as your heart is sincere. And before I even read this, let's get into it. And then I begin to further speak. I'm going to start at verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The Most High don't ever tell us anything to do that he know we incapable of doing. And then turn around and punish us for it. This is what the Christians will have you believe. The teachings of Christianity, rather, will have you believe that the Most High gave us a bunch of laws that were impossible to keep. And then turned around and punished us gravely for it, knowing that we couldn't keep it. Please, people, don't allow yourself to be just bamboozled from common sense. It don't make sense. Just imagine you tell your son, and he's only 2 years old, to climb up on the counters and wash the dishes and then put them up in the cabinets and have it done perfectly. A two-year-old baby. And then when he gets struggling and can't even reach the counter to even get up there to wash a dish, he don't even have a balance and coordination to even hold a dish, let alone do everything else you're saying. And then next thing you know, you pull your butt out and start whooping him and chastising him. It don't make sense. So when the Most High said, walk before me and be perfect, it's possible, people, to be perfect if you want to be. But if you tell yourself I can't, I guess you can't. But he said, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a Elohim unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. See, this now the Most High has let you know what the covenant is. He said, I will establish my covenant. Pay attention. The seventh verse. I'm going to establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. And what is it? To be a him unto thee. That's my covenant. This whole covenant is about Yahweh saying, I'm going to be an Elohim to you. I'm about to establish something special between me and you and your seed after you. I'm going to be your Elohim. I'm going to be your power. And we're going to have this exclusive relationship. That's what the covenant is. And then he said, in addition to this, in the 8th verse, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for everlasting possession. And let me repeat it again, as he's repeating it here. I will be their Elohim. Some people, this is the controversy. This is the confusion. We have some that will teach you and tell you that these are two different covenants here. One of the covenants is that the Almighty promised to be our Elohim. And then the next covenant is that the Almighty will give us the land of Canaan. But you have to read with understanding. You have to read with a humble heart and see that this is all just one covenant. When you read the Sabbath day, the Most High said in the covenant of the Sabbath, he says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the 7th day is the Sabbath of Yah, and in it thou shalt not do any work. So when we start reading all these statutes, these are not different covenants. These are all statutes upon the one covenant. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what comes with that? No working, resting, giving all your men servants and maid servants, even your oxen, cattle, and strangers, giving them all the day off. These are not different covenants. It is all up one. And up under this covenant, let's keep reading. He says, I will be the Elohim. A verse, I'm going to read it again. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their Elohim. How the Most High going to be our Elohim and we don't even have our own land? These are not two different covenants. Why do you think the Most High came to Egypt, destroyed the Egyptians, and destroyed the land of Egypt, and said, let my people go so they can serve me? See, we can't be in another man's land serving him and serve Yahweh at the same time. At some point in time, it's going to be a conflict of interest. Well, let's keep reading this. Excuse me. And Elohim said unto Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy son after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now they say, well, now this is covenant 3. Because the Most High said he's going to be our Elohim, and he's going to give us a land. And now he's talking about being circumcised. People, this is all talking about just one covenant. The Most High is just spelling it all out for you. He's giving you the whole role. He's giving you the whole program. That, listen, I'm going to be your Elohim. I'm going to be your Elohim. Which means what? I have to give you this land. But let me let you know further. Every man child amongst you must be circumcised. If I'm going to be your Elohim, you have to be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And look what it says. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So the circumcision in our flesh is a token of the covenant. That's what it is. So it's not two different covenants. This is just a token. It's just like when you get married. And then you have that token with one another, where you take the ring and you put it on one another's finger. And it's a token representing the marriage, the covenant between you all. So it's not a separate marriage. The ring is a separate marriage, and then our vows is a separate marriage. And now you got about two or three different covenants. No, it's all one covenant. We're married. Let me say this about circumcision, people. The children of Israel, through the glory and holiness of Yahweh, brought circumcision to the world. Before this event right here, when the Most High came to Abram and said, listen, I'm changing your name because I'm about to make you a father of many nations, and I'm going to establish my covenant between me and you. And now, from here on out, all children born from me and in thy household must be circumcised. Let's keep reading this before I even get into what I'm about to say. He says, ye shall circumcise the flesh to your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of your seed, even if it ain't your seed. But if you have servants and strangers that's a part of your family, they're a part of your family. So they have to be circumcised as well. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Do you hear this, people? The Most High said, I'm about to put the covenant into your flesh. So when I see the covenant in your flesh, this lets me know that I'm your Elohim. And that you have all rights to this land that I'm giving to you. 14 verse reads, and the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He have broken my covenant. He didn't break two or three or four different covenants. All he broke was just the one covenant, which is the covenant of circumcision. The circumcision is the token. That's why it's called, this is the covenant of circumcision, brother. Circumcision is the token that represents this covenant. Now let me tell you, the children of Israel through this covenant brought circumcision to the world. Before this, there's no nations getting circumcised. There's no men on earth. See, circumcision means to cut off the gland of the male counterpart. And this is not a practice of the nations, even to this day. Nations don't practice this. The children of Israel brought this to the world. Can you imagine a man just out in his normal mind saying, hey, man, let me just take a knife and put it to my counterparts? Ain't how no normal man thinking. Since the world knew that, man, this is a circumcised people. And every time the strangers try to come in the midst and be amongst the people, they say, hey, you got to be circumcised. So they naturally begin to say, man, why? What is this thing about this circumcision? Why y'all making us all cut this foreskin off of us? And this is why they began to study it and to find out scientific things through their studies. What they found, like the Most High told us, all his laws is for our good. And they found that, man, this guy got good benefits. You know how the nations today, they get circumcised because they found good benefits in it. But this is not the reason why we get circumcised. It is, but it ain't. We get circumcised because this is the covenant of the Most High. And going into the covenant of the Most High and keeping all his laws is for our benefit. Hallelujah. Let me show you this in the book of Genesis, the 34th chapter. This is what sets the children of Israel apart. Genesis 34. This is speaking about the 12 sons of Jacob and then the one daughter. He had 13 children, 12 sons and one daughter. And her name was Dinah. Watch this, starting at verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Yaakov, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Yaakov, and he loved the damsel. He loved her and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel, the wife. And Yaakov heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Yaakov held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Yaakov to commune with him. And the sons of Yaakov came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel and lying with Yaakov's daughter, their sister, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor commune with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. In other words, let's make a covenant with one another, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. And Shechem said to her father and to her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes. And what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gifts. I will give according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. He said, listen, I'm not here. It don't matter what you ask me for. I want this sister to wife. I long for her. I love her. I'm just heads over heels. Don't none of these riches matter to me if I can't have her. And then look. And the sons of Yaakov answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto him, we cannot do this thing to give our sisters to one that is uncircumcised. This is not our way. We know that you are uncircumcised people. We know that all these people before us is uncircumcised. And this is not our way, because this is not a practice of the nations, people. This is not what the nations do. And to this very day, the nations still don't do it. And then you have some that's practicing health and getting into health benefits and things like of that nature, but starting to practice circumcision. But for the most part, you go into the lands, and they doing that here in America for the most part. But when you go into the lands, this is not a normal practice. But he said, listen, I'm going to read 14 verse again. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, but that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consider unto you, if ye will be as we be, every male of you be circumcised. That's the only way we're going to make this thing happen. You want my sister and you the prince over this land? Well, all you the males, if you want us to be a part of this land, and you want us to dwell here and make a covenant with you, all the males must be circumcised. In other words, go get a knife and cut the foreskins off your counterparts. Get the snip. And of course, most of them was scratching their head like, what on earth? What ungodly thing is? Actually, it ain't ungodly. It's actually Elohimly. It came from the Most High. This is why the nations can't understand it. This is holiness. These are parts, when you uncircumcised, then you're undone. You're undone. It's like a baby being born, and you even cut the umbilical cord. And just leave the umbilical cord hanging. That's undone. You don't walk around like that. Look what it says. Every male of Manshu must be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you. We'll take your daughters to us. And we will dwell with you. And we will become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter and we will be gone. And their words please Hamar and Shechem, Hamar's son. It pleased him. He said, okay, man, listen, we about to make it happen then. Y'all circumcised. Obviously, y'all did it. Y'all made it. We're going to go ahead and do the same thing. The young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Yahweh's daughter. You see what kind of, you see what love would do to you? Real love would get, have a man grab a knife and put it to his counterparts. Real love will make a man give up all his riches. This is an example of some strong love. And we've been teaching about this kind of love. Because the question is, do we love Yahweh this strong? Whereas, we would do anything. Where we just so delighted in the Most High. Hard things is really easy to us. Let's keep reading this. And a young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Yaakov's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. See, he was more honorable than the house of his father. But he was still dishonorable on the scale of the Most High. It says, and Hamar Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceably with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised, as they are circumcised, these are circumcised people, we got to be like them. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. So, in other words, he's just trying to convince his people, man, we got to all get circumcised. And unto Hamar, and unto Shechem, his son, hearken, all that went out of the gate of his city, every male was circumcised. All that went out of the gate of his city, every single male ended up being circumcised. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Yaakov, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamar, Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword. And took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Yaakov came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. And as you remember, it said they came to the prince of this land and spoke deceitfully to him and made a promise that they already knew in their heart they was going to keep. and they was going to let them circumcise themselves, and they was basically take down the defense of the men of the city. It was all sore. And then two brothers came in and slew them all. And it says, listen, they took their sheep, their oxen, their asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all the little ones, and their wives took they captive, and spoil you even all that was in the house. And Yaakov said to Simeon and Levi, his sons, ye have troubled me to make me to stay among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a whorelot? You think we about to accept this thing from this uncircumcised man that's going to take our daughter and think he can just lay with her? And he know about us. He laid with her and then came to us. Why he couldn't come to us before he laid with her? The whole point of this story, people, is that the nations before us was this uncircumcised people. This is something that we, in our holiness and our holy walk with the Most High, introduced to the world. No man would have never considered putting no knife to his counterparts until Yahweh introduced this thing. Go with me further to the book of, I believe it's in 1 Samuel. And Abraham, for those that wasn't circumcised on the eighth day, it's okay. But Yahweh mercy endures forever. You will see that Abraham was actually circumcised at 90 years old. Before I even go further, let's see that. For the listening audience. Abraham was 17th chapter. Verse 22. Genesis 17 and 22. And Yahweh left off talking with Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as Elohim had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine. He was 99 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, bought with money, of the stranger were circumcised with him. Hallelujah. Well, so a lot of us are not privy to be so blessed to be circumcised on the very day of circumcision. But it's okay. You can see examples that if you miss that day, you can go ahead and still get yourself circumcised and bring yourself into the covenant of Yah. Hallelujah. And you might ask yourself, why on the eighth day? Because you look up before, because I'm going to go back to that scripture I left from, but I have to tell you this. So you start listening to the nations that didn't even introduce this to the world. They didn't introduce circumcision. They're not the originators of this holy practice. The Most High said do it on the eighth day. But if you go in the hospitals, they'll tell you the best day to get circumcised is between 24 to 72 hours. they want the child to be at least a day, 3 days years old. And most of you all that's bearing children and bringing forth children, you would find that your insurance companies, they will cover circumcision as long as you do it within the 72 hours. But if you want to go outside of the 72 hours and you say, hey, listen, I need my son circumcised on the 8th day, they won't cover it. But they will cover you if you do it on the 3rd day. So this is what you'll fall into when you're dealing with the enemy that didn't even introduce this holy practice to the world. Let's go ahead back to that scripture. And on my way there, like I was saying, why the 8th day? Well, 8, according to the scripture, coincides with the number 1. That's what 8 is. It's number 1. Is that hard to understand? No. As you know, you have 7 days. And when you get to the 8th day, what is the 8th day? Actually, the 1st day. It's just starting over. So after 7, the week starts over. So we know when we get to 8, really at day 1. When you get to 9, you're really back at day 2. When you get to 10, you're back at day 3. Because Yahweh's number is 7. And then it starts over. So we know that we're still looking at 3, even though it's number 10. And that's not funny math. That's real math. That's what you call wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the Most High said, listen, this child has to make it through at least his first week without putting a knife to him. But when we get to the 1st day of his next week, which would be 8 days from his birth, but it's the 1st day of the next week, this is the day that you have to go ahead and do the circumcision. And so actually, circumcision coincides with day 1. This is the first covenant. Yahweh has 7 everlasting covenants. Hold your pages at 1 Samuel. Let's go to Psalms 25. The Most High has 7 everlasting covenants. So that means you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The first one is the covenant of circumcision. That's the first one. And always, people, remember this. If you've been listening to 1907 Vine Street, if you've been tuning in, you have learned that the first represents Yahweh. Because why? What did Yahweh do on the first day? He said, let there be light. He made the light. He brought forth the light. And Yahweh has shown us through preponderance of scriptures that his word is light. His word is a lamp to our feet. We can't do nothing. We can't see nothing. We can't understand nothing. We can't start working upon nothing unless you got the word of the Most High. You don't know whether you're coming or you're going. It's like you're living in a state of darkness when you don't have the law and the words of Yah. But by virtue of the fact that Yahweh give you his word, he's giving you light. That's why in the scriptures, in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's in the 8th chapter, he says, to the laws and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. The light that's in you is the word of the Most High. And this is why this covenant of circumcision coincides with day 1. Because circumcision is a covenant that Yahweh said, listen, I'm going to be your Elohim. I'm going to be your Elohim. And since I'm going to be your Elohim, I'm going to give you this land, and establish my covenant with you. In Psalms 25, verse 14, it says, the secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them his covenant. And also go with me to Psalms 147, because I just want to show you real quick before we go into some more scriptures about circumcision. I want to show you that the covenant of circumcision has everything to do with the word of the Most High. That's what the circumcision represents. because it's the first covenant. And the first covenant, the first commandment, the first feast day, the first tribe, all these things dealing with the first coincides with the first day. And Yahweh made light on the first day. And the light of Yah is his word. For all he did was speak and said, let there be what? Let it be light. And so we know his very word is light. And look what the Most High says in Psalms 147, verse 19. He showeth his word unto Yaakov, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so in any nation. And as far as his judgments, they have not owned him. Why you think these nations ain't circumcised? Why you think these nations don't keep the Sabbath day of Yah? When the Most High said, I'm going to be your Elohim, he was talking to the children of Israel. Which means what? Since I'm your Elohim, I'm your power. That's what I am now. I'm your power. I'm about to call you to be the most powerful people on the earth. I'm about to cause you to be the highest nation on the earth. Because now, I am your Elohim. And how did the Most High make us the most powerful people on the earth? He said it by being your Elohim. But by being our Elohim, he's given us his word. He says, listen, I showed my word to Jacob, my statutes and my judgments to Israel. By giving us that, made us superior to all nations on the earth. Because he says he has not dealt so with any other nation. I haven't given them my word. I haven't given them my statutes and my judgments. And let me let you know this. They don't know them. They have not known these things. And before I go further, I'll show you in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, to show you that this covenant actually has everything to do with the word of the Most High. See, I know people think the most important thing about this covenant is the fact that the Most High has given us a holy land. What is the holy land in this promised land without the word of the Most High? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a land that lays desert and waste. It's a land that lays destroyed. Our land lays as a waste, howling desert right now. Why? Because we didn't embrace the word of the Most High. We didn't keep his covenant. In Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, let me show you what the Most High said about his word. Starting at the fourth verse. But ye that did cleave unto Yahweh your Elohim are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me. This was Moses saying, listen, this is what I did with you. I've been teaching these things. This ain't never happened to no nation on the face of the earth, where the Most High came down and started teaching his holy statutes and judgments. He said, listen, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, a wise and understanding people. For what nation? Can you tell me any kind of nation that's so great, that has Elohim so nigh to them? They got the Almighty that created the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that in them is so nigh to them, that he's done given them his words. He gave it to them as an inheritance. The Most High giving us his words as an inheritance. He's giving us his statutes and judgments as an inheritance. Ours, it belongs to us. We possess it. And to possess this word, it takes a spirit. It's like these movies you watch. They have these little special weapons for this person, that person, but the weapon only works when it's in the right person's hands. And this thing don't work unless it's in the hands of Israel. Because Yahweh gave it to us. He said, I didn't give this to any other nation. They don't even know it. And when they get their hands on it, and then you try to take it out of their hands and then adopt everything that they're doing, how you going to adopt what they're doing? When they don't even understand this book. This is like calligraphy. It's like a book that speak a foreign language that they can't even understand. They act like they do. They don't. Trust and believe that. They don't. And this is why you cannot follow the nations. He says, listen, keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom. This is your understanding. In the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, wise and understanding people. What nation is there so great who has Elohim so nigh to them as Yahweh our Elohim is in all things that we look upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Excuse me. Look, people, when the Most High told us in Genesis, the 17th chapter, that he was establishing his covenant with Abraham and his seed after him to be an Elohim to them, this is what he meant. I'm about to be their power. I'm about to be their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the sight of the nations. I'm about to have the whole earth looking at this people saying, man, what kind of great failure that this covenant has everything to do with the word of the Most High. Because how can Yahweh be our Elohim and we don't even have his words? That's the very first thing we need, is the word of the Most High. This is our strength. And the last thing on this, look what the Most High said in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Actually, you're going to read this in, Deuteronomy 32. We don't understand how powerful this word is. All you have to do is put this word in the right mouth. All you have to do is put this word in the right hands. And as Most High said, his word so powerful, all he said was, let there be light, and it just happened. He creates with his words. Most High came upon the mount and spoke the Ten Commandments, and the earth quaked as he spoke. Burnt with fire as he spoke. Thundering, clapping as he spoke. Deuteronomy 32, verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify on you this day, for ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you. This is one thing that you can say ain't vain for you, and that's the words of the Most High. He said, because it is your life, and through this thing shall you put on your days in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. And I can't even stop there. The Most High told us in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, he says, thou shalt remember all the way, Deuteronomy 8 and 2, thou shalt remember all the way which I led thee these 4 years in the wilderness to humble you. To prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee what thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh, man lives. Yes, the word of the Most High has been given unto us through the covenant. Circumcision is just the token. It's the covenant in our flesh. But one thing you got to know about this covenant, people, if you read in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, one thing you got to know about this covenant, in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 12th verse. But before I read that, like I said, we are originators of the holy act of circumcising the flesh. And the original day to do the circumcision of seeds, all the male child, is on the 8th day. Not the 7th day. Not the 9th day, not the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, no day, but the 8th. And also about circumcision, it's only for males. I don't know where they get this foolishness of talking about circumcising little girls. All it is the way of darkness. It's the way of wickedness. Because the way of light is the word of Yah, the Most High. You will never see the Most High saying circumcise your daughters. It's all the males. There's nothing to circumcise on the flesh of a woman. The only thing you circumcise on the flesh of a woman and is the umbilical cord. You cut that off, and you cut that off the male too. But his male counterparts, no. Listen, Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, because daughters are supposed to be circumcised as well, but not in the flesh as the males. You'll start reading at the 12th verse. Now, Israel, what does Yahweh the Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yahweh the Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve Yahweh the Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. Because that's how it looks to love Yah. To serve him with your heart and with your soul. Which means your body, your hands, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your soul. If you love Yah. To keep the commandments of Yahweh and the statutes which I command thee this day for your good. And yes, when they study circumcision, they found out, man, this thing is good. It's got good benefits. Yes, all the laws and commandments that Yahweh has given us is for good. All of them. Just like staying away from that swine. They found out when they went to the hospital that that law was good too. When they found out their artery was getting clogged from the fat that's in the meat of this swine. This is in the 14th verse. Behold the heaven. Look at it. Check it out. Behold it. How beautiful it is. Behold the heaven of heavens. If you see it, you need to know this. It belongs to Yahweh. The earth also. And all that therein is, everything that's in the heavens, even the heaven of heavens, and everything that's in it, all of it belongs to Yah. But the 15th verse said, only Yahweh had a delight in your fathers to love them. He don't delight in the things that's in the heaven or in the earth. He said, I delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people. Even you above all people, as it is today, circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. And when you study this word stiff-necked, you're going to come to understanding that it means a hard heart. That's why the Most High said, circumcise the foreskin. Not of just your flesh. That's a token of the covenant. But now, I want everybody, and even including the daughters, because the daughters can do this, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Cut the fat off the heart. And be no more hard-hearted. Yahweh, your Elohim, he is the master of masters, king of kings, a great Elohim. Mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor take a reward. How I want us to circumcise our heart, people. And you know the fat, the extra skin that's hanging out the heart that don't even need to be there? You know what it is, people? Let me show you. Got a little bit of time. I'm going to show you here. Let's go to Psalms 81. Let's see what it says. So I can show you how to circumcise your heart. And if you love the Most High, you want to serve Yahweh with all your heart. You can't serve Yahweh with all your heart if you got an uncircumcised heart. And you can't serve Yahweh if you got uncircumcised flesh. You have to do both. In other words, established. You got two circumcisions. One of the flesh and one in the heart. And with the flesh, all you need is a simple knife and to cut that foreskin off. But it gets a little more in depth when it comes to cutting the foreskin off the heart. But let me show you. Psalms 81. I'm going to start at the 8th verse. Since we're dealing with circumcision, which is done on the 8th day, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me, if you will listen, there shall no strange gods be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am Yahweh thy Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. All you have to open your mouth wide, and Yahweh will fill it. He's about to fill it with your wickedness. Open your mouth wide. You got to know that Yahweh wants you to be righteous. So if you open your mouth wide, let it be for righteousness. Let it be for Yahweh. I want to know you. Yah, I want to know your truth. Yah, I want to know your name. Yah, I want to know your statutes, laws, and your judgments. Yahweh, I want to know how to love you. I had a brother call me this past week. Said, brother, how do I know I love Yah? I just need to know these things. Yahweh said, well, if you open your mouth wide in this kind of way, because you know it ain't called talking about wickedness, said, I feel it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They don't want none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. There it is. That's the fat that drips and hangs off the heart. Why do you think our people want is fat? That's why they love chicken so much, and they love the skin on the chicken, because they want fat, and they want ribs, and they want this fat dripping. They want rib. They want the fatness of the earth. They want all of the fatness of the earth is the gold and the diamonds, and they just want all the fat. And guess what? Their heart is fat. Their heart is lustful. And if you want to circumcise your heart, people, you better start trimming off that lust. Turn it off. Say, Yahweh, man, I'm about to put down this lust. I'm a freaking dog. Every woman walk by, I'm just whistling and barking and drooling. I'm a dog. I'm lustful after women. You'll read that in, where is that? Proverbs, the 6th chapter, 25th verse. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, because that's where lust lies. Lust just means desire. Don't lust after her beauty in your heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. People, you got to cut it off. If you lust, then lust after Yahweh. Yahweh will give you a beautiful wife and righteousness. You can have lust through your circumcised heart. Don't have your lust through your uncircumcised heart. Circumcise your heart. Cut off the lust, because the lust is what got you in trouble. That's why you a drunkard, because you lust after it. That's why you a glutton, because you lust after that food. That's why you a sluggard, because you lust after that bed. And that's why you a whoremonger. That's why you a whore. That's why you a dog. That's why you a thief. That's why you a murderer. Your heart is just uncircumcised with lust. And when our people came out, you find this in the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter. If you want to learn how to circumcise your heart, people, you better start denying your heart. Say, you know I want to get drunk today, but I'm about to deny my heart. That's why the scripture said the heart of the wise lives in the house of mourning, because the heart is mourning when it can't get its lust. It's broke. It's hurt. It's sitting there Like, my goodness. You spiritually feel it. You get irritated. You get frustrated. And you're grieving. But guess what? That's the righteous affliction. That's the affliction Yahweh wants you to go through. And then you just stay strong with Yah. Next thing you know is this get easier and easier and easier. And next thing you know, you done prevailed. You done won. And now you walk with Yah and your lust don't get the best of you. Your appetite don't get the best of you. But right now, we got the best of us. And the best of you is your heart. That's the best part of you. That's the part Yahweh looking for. That's the part of you that Yahweh wants. He wants your heart. But we done lost it. We giving it up. We don't protect it. And the scriptures teach you how to protect your heart. You can't be around. If you want to stop drinking, well, you got to get away from people that drink all the time. That's how you protect your heart. But Exodus, the 15th chapter. And people say, well, I don't drink. I don't do this and I don't do that. What's your heart lust after? That's how you got to think. If your heart ain't lusting after Yah, well, then you caught up in the wrong lust. What is it, your cell phone, your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat? What is your lust that just consumes all your time, that takes all your mind? What is your lust? Is it your jewelry? Is it your gold? Is it your clothes? Is it your car, your house? What is it? Like I was teaching this last past Sabbath day, if you don't prefer Jerusalem above your chiefest joy, you might as well forget your cunning. You might as well forget your wisdom. Scripture said, man, you might as well turn into a dumb person that can't even speak. Let the tongue just cleave to the roof of your mouth if you prefer not Jerusalem above your chief joy. And what is Jerusalem? That's Yahweh's resting place. Exodus 15:9, it reads, Exodus 15:9, it reads, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil you. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Let me make sure that's the right verse. Actually, it's in Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, and I'm running out of time. Let me go here real quick. Psalm 78. And I'm going to start reading that verse. And I start at verse 17. And they sin yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted Elohim in their heart, asking meat for their lust. All they was in the wilderness concerned about was their lust. I don't care Yahweh brought me out with a mighty hand stretched out arm. I don't care that he just did all these miracles out of heaven. I want some meat. And if you can't give me no meat, let me go back to Egypt. I want to be back with the Egyptians. You mean to tell me you're that lustful of a people? You mean to tell me your heart is that weak that you'd rather go back to the land of your captivity for a piece of meat? Yes. It's the truth. And look, we do it today. You know your blood pressure is high. You know your kidneys is on the verge of failing. You know your liver is. You know that you need to get it together. But like they say, whew, it's to die for. Oh, yeah. Your lust. And we dying for it. But if you want to stop dying, and if you really want to circumcise your heart, people, start cutting that lust. Put them cigarettes down. Put it down. Put that weed down. Put the Facebook down. Whatever your lust is. Start committing more of your time to the Most High. I'll be honest with you, people. I'm just like you. We all the same. The Most High said he fashioned the hearts of the sons of men alike. We all done got caught up into this lustful world. And now Yahweh's seeing we're going to get out. And I'm trying to get out. Now I'm here tonight. I said, listen, I got to praise Yahweh tonight. I got to go stand up in the sanctuary tonight. Too much am I just serving myself to get this, that, and the other, and to do this, that, and the other. Let me start giving more of my time to the one that I'm to be loving. And that's Yahweh. He's the mighty Yah. Before I get off here, I wanted to still read that 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. This covenant has everything to do with Yahweh's word. Everything to do with it. Because he gave us the land. That's what establishes the land. By us having the word of Yahweh to rule the land. And when Yahweh said, I will be your Elohim, yes, because he's our power. He's our king now. And he rules over us with his word. He organizes us and order us with his word. And he's giving you this word by an inheritance. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Look what it says. I'm going to start at the 21st verse. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistines of Gath. And his name was Goliath, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid of this big Goliath. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And by the way, they defied Israel for 40 whole days before Yahweh said enough is enough, because that's Yahweh's judgment, 40. But listen, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that come up? Surely to defy Israel he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This big old Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine? We circumcised people. We the holy sons of the Most High. Look at this man. He walking around uncircumcised. This man can't do nothing with us. He says, listen, but who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living Elohim, the Almighty? And the people answer him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And long story short, King David put him down. Put him down to the ground. It ain't even take too much effort. I just want to show you this one more scripture, and it's all over the scriptures. These nations are uncircumcised. This way and walk of circumcision is brought to the world through the children of Israel. So if you want to know about circumcision, don't go to the doctors. Come to the children of Israel, and we'll tell you. And one might say, well, man, who you have come in your house to circumcise that little boy? Guess what? I had a Jewish man that been practiced to do circumcision. Yes. And this Jewish man, not only he Jew, he's a white Jewish man. And I let him in my house to circumcise my son, and I let him in my house again to circumcise my nephew, and I'm going to let him in my house again if I have to circumcise my son. All praises to Yah, that'll be here in a couple months. Yes, because guess what? We've been robbed. We've been lost as a people. Now we're trying to get back to our way. But this was our tradition. And so, unfortunately, we just don't have nobody in the community that's here in Cincinnati that's amongst our community that can do the work. But it's okay. We don't get caught up in this. A lot of things that Israel is lacking. We lacking a lot. But we got Yahweh. We got his words. That's all that matters to me. And I'm bringing my son into the covenant of Yah. The Most High didn't say a white man, yellow man, brown man. He didn't say what kind of man had to do the cutting. All he said is have it done. So I praise Yahweh for this circumcision. We do it because this is the work of the Most High. This is his holy covenant. And through this, Yahweh has allowed us to possess his holy words, his holy statutes and judgments, his holy law. And one day, coming near to you soon, we're going to get our land back. Praise the mighty Yah. But with that being said, people, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom, shalom.
The light has come, the glory of Yah has risen up on his sons and his daughters. The darkness is uncovered, pull sheets up of our lovers, we're perverted till we burn. So now it's time to return back to Yah, our city of refuge, the fountains of living waters. This showers me with righteousness, restores my order, and turns this song to a king, a song for my soul to sing, that brought me down very low, my garments white like the wings. Shaddai, praise be the Most High, that brought me out of his sanity, crushed the towers of vanity, and made a man of me. I'm now asking for a key, no longer my refugee. I'm now Yah's planet.
We gon' rise to the city, we gon' march to the city, we gon' dance, we gon' sleep, we gon' run to the city, run to the city, we gon' fly to the city, we gon' march to the city.
Measure waters came to your ankle, the method did repeat. Waters came right to your knee before you further joke goins. Waters came to your loins, a thousand measures and the last, a river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of your fists left to swim. There was meat from the trees, nourished the bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters